speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, the Bible tells us, and you and I as Christians know, that there is none greater than our God. When we think in regard to God, God is eternal in His existence. You and I have been created by Him, yet at the same time, in regard to God, God has always existed and He will always exist. That is His character, that is His nature. And also we understand regarding God is that God is universal in His presence. Our God is able to see what is going on here in this world, and also our God is able to be where everything is taking place in this world, and that we are suggesting that God has not removed Himself from His creation, but rather that God is constantly involved in the affairs that take place in this world. But also we know in regard to God is that God's knowledge is without end. Our God understands not only you and me as He has created us, but our God has a very keen understanding of everything that takes place in this life. He not only knows what is taking place in the full scope of life, but good people, also our God understands what is taking place in a very personal and specific way with you and me in our life. And the interesting thing and important thing here that we want to make mention is not that you and I have to bring these things out to God, but rather that God is able to see even into our heart to know what you and I are dealing with from a personal standpoint. God is indeed greater than anyone who has ever lived here upon the face of this earth. We serve a glorious God. As we look to the context of the lesson this morning, it comes from Psalm 66, and we're going to look at the entirety of the chapter, and in this, every one of our points comes directly from the context, and it's interesting in regard to the way in which David saw God, the glory of God, how that God operated in the world, also the way in which God operated in His personal life, and the way in which these things certainly are applicable to you and me today as we seek to please and to praise our God. Good people, David had a very clear understanding concerning our God's universal reign. He reigns in a universal sense, and when you look in regard to the way in which God reigns, it is totally awesome as to what He does. Good people, our God is truly amazing. By His power, He created all things, and God continues to control the universe of which you and I dwell in. And also, the Scripture reveals to us is that God offers proof continually in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament in reference to His existence and the things that He does for mankind, those who were created after His very image. But also, not only does the Scripture identify proof into the existence of God and the things that God does for His creation, you and I are able to look to the world itself, to the creation that God has placed before us, and to find proof. And the Scripture also tells us in regard to the way in which God operates in society, in the world, is that He continues to uphold all things into existence. Why does our life continue here? Because our God has His finger. Our God has His hand involved in everything that continues to take place in this world. But also, God calls upon mankind to investigate His works. That's what David identifies from the context here. If you look to verse 5, God wants man to look to the things that He states in the Scripture concerning Him as well as concerning His providential care for humanity. But not only does God want us to look to His inspired Word, good people, God wants mankind to look to the creation and to find that indeed the creation is not responsible for itself, nor the way in which the creation continues to exist, but rather that God is responsible for all things. And God wants us to investigate the acts, the affairs that He takes place in on a continual basis. What is it that God wants man to see? Good people, God wants mankind to see that on every turn we're able to identify God. God is responsible for the creation of the sky, the sun, moon, stars, and what it is that you and I would count as light. God is responsible for the creation of the dry land as well as the sea. And the Genesis account helps to explain the way in which God accomplished the creation of all of these things that we've mentioned to this point, but you know the pinnacle in all that God created is you and me. And as you and I investigate the works of God and the creation that God has laid before us, God wants us to understand that we are very special creatures in His creation, in the fact that He has created for us, and also the fact that God continues to have His hand in our existence, in our life affairs here in this world. But also, God tells us in regard to His reign, is that He rules forever by His power. Good people, our God's rule is universal. Also, we understand is that God's rule is throughout the ages, and God's rule is eternal. His rule and reign will never cease. And David came to love and to appreciate the fact that God would reign. There was going to be a time, certainly, that David reigned as king, and the Scripture says that he did. And in this, David knew that his reign was only temporary, that while he dwelt here in this world, and while he stood over the children of Israel as king over Israel, is that there would come a point in time where he would die, or that he would be replaced by yet another. But God would continue to reign. And good people, that message should ring true for you and me as we dwell here, is that we need to continually know and trust that our God will always rule the earth. But also, David saw concerning the love of God. As he observed God's love, we see that he was able to see that God is able to identify everything that takes place in the nations. In the world at that time, God knew everything that was going on. And today, God sees the things that the nations are doing. He sees those outside of the United States, all that takes place. Yet at the same time, good people, He's able to see the things that you and I are engaged in here in this world. And in this, God wants us to understand, not to be afraid that He's watching over the world, but rather to be amazed at what He's doing in the world. And in this, then God says that He cares for mankind, and His care for humanity is amazing. As you look to the way in which God has cared for and even continues to care for His creation, if you look to the way in which God cares for the creatures that He's created, the animals, how that He supplies everything that they need in nature for them to continue on, and how that in nature, for the most part, they thrive. They do very well. But the fact that you and I have been created after the image of God, the fact that you and I are special in all of God's creation, God continues to care for you and me. Why do we have the things that we have that are good in our life? Good people, it's because God wants us to understand that every good thing that we have in life, it's because of the fact that He loves us. It's because of the fact that He is there for us. And therefore, the things that we have, the food, shelter, and clothing, and even beyond, these things are certainly blessings of God. And they are a result, a direct result of God's love for us. His operation also to preserve mankind's life is so amazing, as well as signifies concerning His love. David understood that the reason that he and others of that day continued to live was because God was there. Because God was involved in their life. Because God wanted to direct their steps. And in like figure today, our God continues to make certain that we dwell here in this world. And while we have already said that there is a time that man dies, that is inevitable. That is God-given also. And therefore, we need to count every moment that we have here as very precious. And also to make use of the time in which God gives us. Why? Because there will come a time wherein that God will remove our opportunity to continue to dwell here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. And God says that as His people, as those who love Him and seek to live our lives faithful before Him, that He listens to the things that we have as concern, as well as to the praise that we would render unto Him for the things that He does for us. David continually talked and prayed to God, and he was filled with confidence as well as great joy, knowing that the Creator of all things heard him, listened intently to the things that he said. And good people, that certainly is true for you and me today, is that as we have concerns in our life and we pray to God, our God has open ears, if you would. He hears what is of concern to us. He hears the way in which we are pleading and begging for Him to intervene, to come in and to be a part of the situation that we might have going on at certain circumstances or situations in our lives. He is aware of these things, but yet at the same time, He wants us to communicate to Him. And He promises us as His faithful children that He listens to us. And as we pray, then you and I need to keep in mind that we need to continually pray that nevertheless, not our will, but His will be done. And good people, if our asking is in compliance to His will, then we can trust that God continually works then to answer our prayers. But also, our God offers redemption. And David was so impressed with this. God allows mankind to be tested. And David knew that God allowed him to be tested and even the people of that day. And God allows mankind, even into this very day, to be tested. And some people will say wrongfully, because oftentimes out of ignorance, why does God tempt me? And God does not tempt us. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "Let no man say, when I'm tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts He any man. But every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." God does not tempt us, but rather God does allow us to be tested. And in this, whenever we are tested, the Scripture tells us, as David identifies, is that God laid affliction upon his back and upon the backs of the people of that day. And sometimes people will say, "Well, Kevin, you said that God does not test us, or rather God does not tempt us, yet at the same time He lays affliction upon us." Well, what does that mean? Good people, God allows things to happen. He allowed David to enter into certain situations or circumstances. And David had choices to make based out of the affliction or based out of the things that he was facing in life. And David was not alone. Israel continually faced these decisions to make. And in that, whenever they chose wrong, then they bear the burden as a result of the choices that they made. And in like figure today, I believe that that's what God communicates to us in regard to the affliction that we face. Sometimes it may be a result of the things that we have done wrong. Other times it may be due to the fact that we live in a world that continually does wrong and sin is in the world. And in this, why is it that God allows mankind to go through the trials of life and to be tested? Because our God wants us to mature. David grew continually. He was certainly a man after God's own heart. But if you look to the trials that he faced in life, good people, you will find is that David grew time and time again. With every situation, he learned to love God greater. With every trial, he understood the necessity of trusting in God continually. With anything that went wrong in his life, he found himself connecting with God in ways greater than what he had in the past. And the same thing is to be true in our life. As we face situations in life, our love for God should be deeper than it was yesterday. Our trust in God needs to be stronger. Our belief in God needs to be greater. God wants us to mature. And as we face the situations of life, James says that we account these things all joy, knowing that the testing of our faith endures or produces patience or endurance, strength within us. And as Christians, certainly we are blessed in an ultimate manner according to the mercy of God. As we count all things we face in life, as we look to the things that certainly trouble us from time to time, we oftentimes sing a song that heaven will surely be worth it all, and most certainly it will. As we look to all of those negatives, if you would, that do take place in our life, we are to focus upon the positive, to see that God brings us through, and what a blessing that is to see His mercy and His goodness in bringing us through the trials. But you know, in a greater way, we find the mercy and the goodness and the graciousness of our God through Jesus Christ, His Son and our blessed Savior. He offers us redemption. And because of this, David praised God. The context says, "Make a joyful shout unto God." And David certainly shouted out time and again to God. And he says, sing out the honor of His name. God's name is to be honored amongst the world of which you and I dwell in. And in this, as we sing out unto the world, as we speak concerning God unto the people who are not in a relationship with our God and our Creator, we need to do as David understood he was responsible for doing in a relationship with God. He wanted to make certain that people were aware of the deeds of God. And good people, if we want to proclaim the Word of God, if we want people to understand our God and His eternal existence and the love that our God has, we need to explain unto the world of which we live in of the great deeds, the works that God has done and the works that God continues to do. And His name is holy and His name must be praised. What will keep people out of heaven? Sin. And why do people sin against God? Because they do not live a holy life that is in line with the will of God. And our God is holy and is only able to be praised by those who will come before Him and to recognize the greatness concerning His name and also who will work to bring their life into line with His holiness. We learn from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, that God is holy and then He calls upon us to be holy as He is holy. And as we are then able to engage in times that we are here at this very hour to worship and to praise our God and our Creator, we're able to do so in a manner that will be pleasing and acceptable to Him, not only because we do those things that are in truth, but also because we do those things as His people who seek to live a holy life before Him. God commanded David to be pure and to be holy before the world of which he lived in. And in like figure, our God commands us as His children to live pure, to live in a Christ-like manner each and every day of our existence here. God desires glorification. And good people, we glorify our God by describing Him in His existence. Again, there's no one, there's none other who is able to say that they are eternal in their existence with the exception of God. And when we speak in regard to the existence of God being eternal, we need to understand that we're speaking about the fullness of the Godhead. We're identifying that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three a part of God. And in this, all three are eternal in their existence. And as we describe our God before the world that we live in, and that God is eternal in His existence, and also as we tell them concerning the attributes, the character, the nature of our God is glorified amongst His people. And we glorify Him by telling of His wonderful works. You know, we live in a world today that says that the world began with a big bang. Atheists, those who do not believe in God, say that He does not exist and that everything is just in existence because of chance. And good people, I look to that and I say, how absurd can people be? It doesn't make sense. Things don't happen just by chance. There's reasons behind the cause and effect theories. And in thought, it's all a part of science itself, but yet at the same time, they dismiss an existence of God, or the majority do. In this, God wants you and me to stand continually amongst His people and outside of our gathering to tell the world concerning the fact that He created this world. Also, that He continues to operate within the realm of our existence. And what do we do? Proclaim that He is the Creator and that He is constantly engaged in the affairs of life. Our God is glorified. But also David understood that God is glorified by His people living according to the standards of God. When you and I live in Christ for the sake of Christ, our God is glorified. How is that? Because the world sees that we're different than they are. Because the world hears us claim to be Christians, and because the world sees that we do not talk like they talk, that the world sees that we do not go where they go in ungodly ways according to ungodly standards. they see that we're different in our claim to be Christ-like, and then they understand our neighbors and friends know where we're going to be whenever God's people come together. And whenever we not only say that we're a Christian, but rather that we live fully for Christ in a Christ-like manner, we glorify our God because of the fact of we are living as we are claiming. But also our God is glorified through worship. David offered sacrificial offerings before God. And in that, it glorified God because God had commanded him to do so. And whenever you and I assemble together as God's people upon the first day of the week with His people, every opportunity that we have to come together, our God is glorified because we do those things that He commands us. But also, good people, because He sees the love that we have for Him in our taking time out of our life to be here with those of like precious faith to give special time, to give a time of reverence to our God and our Creator. And David understood that, and he understood the necessity for him to glorify God with every aspect of his life. And God commissions you and me today to do likewise. God invites mankind to have a relationship with Him. And those who accept Him find that He is indeed gracious. Man is deserving of death. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death because we sin against God. Because we violate the law of God, we are deserving of separation from God. Not only in this life, but also eternally. Yet at the same time, we are so grateful that Romans 6 and verse 23 does not end with the very beginning there, but rather he goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. Whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, good people, He gave us a means of redemption. He gave us a door so that we would have an opportunity to have a relationship with God, so that our sins could be washed away in the watery grave of baptism, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And then that whenever we are baptized into Christ, we are raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And why do we have that? It's nothing on me. It's nothing on you. But rather because it's the graciousness of God. He loves us so much and He wants us to be in a relationship with Him. And those who accept this bidding from God to be counted as His children will find that He is faithful in all things. You look to the Old Testament Scripture and David identifies that God has always been faithful with him and with His people. And God tells us that it's impossible for Him to lie to us. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Our God, whenever He says something, He will indeed keep His promises. We said that He is involved in the affairs of this life, and why is that? Because God said that He's always going to be involved in the affairs of man's existence here. And we can know that as long as this earth stands, God is going to be right here seeing what takes place and actively involved in bringing forth good to our lives. But good people, as it deals with our relationship with Him specifically from an eternal standpoint, when God tells us that sins are forgiven whenever we obey Christ in baptism, we know that He forgives us of sin. Why? Because God is faithful. And whenever God says that if we live our life faithful before Him, that we will dwell eternally in heaven with Him, we can trust this. Why? Because God is faithful. David had great joy in his life because he knew of the faithfulness of God. And God wants us as His children today to have great joy in our lives because of that same fact. Because our God is faithful. And those who accept His invitation will also find that He is love. David knew of the love of God because of the way in which God dealt with him and mankind at that time. And the Scripture actually tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 that God is love. What does that mean? It means that God is the epitome of everything that love stands for. In the context, it is agape love. It is a never-ending, sacrificial love. And good people, we know that God loves us to that end. Why? Because we're not deserving of love. Yet He loves us so much that the Scripture tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can't find any greater love than that, than the love that a father would have for a people, that He would send His Son, who has existed eternally beside Him, with Him, into a world that would hate Him and reject Him, mock and ridicule Him, beat and abuse Him, and then crucify Him on a cruel, shameful cross at Golgotha, the cross of Calvary. Yet those who accept the invitation of God, read and study and grow as Christians, understand how wonderful and magnificent this love is that God has for us. But also those who accept the invitation will find that He is just. Because God is just, good people, we understand that God must follow through with things that He says He will do. For those of us who are faithful Christians, we find that comforting, as we've said, to know that we will have an eternal life in heaven with God. But for those who are outside of Christ, the point needs to be driven home. Because He is just and will give us eternal life for our faithfulness, He is also just and righteous to do what He has said He will do to those who are outside of His body. To those who have never named the name of Christ, to those who are not members of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus Christ died for those who are erring members of the body of Christ, who live hypocritical lives even, because He is just, He will sentence these individuals eternally to condemnation, to a devil's hell. But it doesn't have to be that way. The choice is man's. And that's why we find God here through David extending an invitation to the people of that day. And that's also why we find that God continually, even to this day, extends His invitation through Jesus Christ, His Son. It's because He does not want man to be lost. He wants so much for man to recognize that He is indeed the glorious God, that He is the gracious God of mercy who extends mercy through Jesus Christ, but yet at the same time, His love is only found embraced in Christ, and those outside will be separated from Him. Somebody says, how can He live with Himself? Because the majority will be lost. Good people, He can live with Himself because of the fact that He extends that opportunity and the choice. The choice belongs to each one. And therefore, whenever man chooses to reject God, it's not his fault but theirs. David understood that. And David wanted the people of that day to understand this fact as well. And God's Word is preserved. The message of David is preserved there in Psalm 66 for us and built upon in the New Testament Scripture, that God wants us to embrace Him, to glorify Him, and to be faithful before Him each day of our life here. If you're outside of the body of Christ this morning, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then so that you can be raised to be counted as one of His faithful children. If you're here and you have fallen by the wayside in some way, we also want to extend our God's invitation to you